Walking became a very important part of my routine. When you feel like a fluid, it's impossible to know where your physical boundaries begin and end. Walking helped me become strong again, and within the course of that first year, I managed to average 3 miles a day several times a week. I walked with small weights in my hands, swinging my arms here and there, flailing them about like a wild child, but in rhythm. I made sure I exercised all of my muscle groups, performing shoulder girdle, shoulder, elbow, and wrist activities. Lots of people looked at me as if I was odd, but having lost my left hemisphere ego center, I wasn't concerned with their approval or disapproval. Walking with weights helped me regain strength, balance, and posture. In addition, I worked with a friend who, through the use of massage and acupuncture, helped me identify my physical boundaries. By the 8th month, I was back to work full-time, but still not completely competent, either mentally or physically. There was a sluggishness about my brain that I could not shake. Unfortunately, my job description involved some complex computer database responsibilities that I knew my mind was not capable of performing. Moreover, due to the stroke, I became acutely aware of how precious little time I have here on the planet. I wanted to move back home to Indiana. Spending time with my mom and dad while I still have them around became a priority in my life. Fortunately, my boss agreed that I could travel for the Brain Bank as their national spokesperson for the mentally ill from anywhere, and she gave me her blessing to return to Indiana. 1 year after the stroke, I moved back home to the Midwest. My favorite place on earth is Bloomington, Indiana. It's the perfect-sized college town filled with interesting and creative people, and, oh yes, it's the home of Indiana University. Coming home to Indiana felt grounding to me, and I knew I was exactly where I was supposed to be when my new home phone number turned out to be the exact date of my birthday, month, and year. It was one of those synchronicities in life that let me know that I was in the right place at the right time. Post-stroke year 2 was spent reconstructing, as best I could recall, the morning of the stroke. I worked with a Gestalt therapist who helped me verbalize my right hemisphere experience of that morning. I believed that helping people understand what it felt like to experience the neurological deterioration of my mind might help caregivers better relate to stroke survivors. I also hoped that if someone read that account and then experienced any of those symptoms, they would call for help immediately. I worked with Jane Nevins and Sandra Ackerman of the Dana Foundation on a book proposal for this story. Although our efforts were premature, I will always be grateful for their interest and assistance in helping me outline what I valued. Eventually, when my mind was capable of learning large volumes of information again, it was time to re-engage with academia. In my second post-stroke year, I was hired by Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Terre Haute, Indiana, to teach courses in anatomy physiology and neuroscience. As I saw it, they were paying me to relearn the details of my profession. I found that although I had lost my academic terminology, left hemisphere, I still remembered what everything looked like and their relationships to one another. Right hemisphere. I ended up pushing my learning ability to the limit on a daily basis, and for the entire quarter, I felt like my brain would explode from overuse. I truly believe that challenging my brain in this way was exactly what it needed. Staying one lecture ahead of the students was demanding. For 12 weeks, I balanced work with appropriate sleep, and my brain performed beautifully. I will always be grateful to the Rose Holman Department of Applied Biology and Biomedical Engineering for their confidence in my ability to teach again. To give you some idea of the chronology of my recovery, here is a brief summary of the highlights of my progress year by year. Prior to the stroke, I had been an avid freecell player, solitaire, but it was 3 years before I could wrap my mind around this card game again. On the physical plane, it took 4 years of walking with my hand weights, 3 miles a day, several times a week, before I could walk with a smooth rhythm. During the 4th year, my mind became capable of multitasking, even simple things like talking on the phone while boiling pasta. Up to that point, I had to do just one thing at a time, which meant everything required my full attention. And along the journey, it wasn't my style to complain. I always remembered what I had been like immediately following the stroke, and I counted my blessings and thanked my brain 1,000 times a day for responding so well to my attempts to revive it. Having had a taste of the alternative, I spent a good bit of time feeling grateful for my life. The one thing I thought I had lost forever was the ability to understand anything mathematical. To my amazement, however, by the fourth post-stroke year, my brain was ready to tackle addition again. Subtraction and multiplication came online around post-stroke year 4.5, but division eluded me until well into year 5. Working with flashcards helped me drill basic math back into my brain. Now, I work with the Nintendo Brain Training and Big Brain Academy programs. I think everyone over the age of 40, as well as every stroke survivor, would benefit from using this sort of brain training tool.